Play Ball. Play ball with Babe Ruth. Play ball with the Navy. The United States Navy brings you the adventures of Babe Ruth. And here to tell you about the fabulous and immortal Babe is his pal, the popular sports reporter, Steve Martin.
Hello, everybody. Many of the things the big fella did, some of his most colorful feats, never got into the newspapers. But now they can be told. Right now, I'd like to tell you the inside story of a great young ball player named Dusty Cowan, who almost wrecked the Yankees, himself, and Babe Ruth. We'll bring you the exciting story of Dusty and the Babe in just a moment. But because I'm an old Navy man myself, an enlisted man in one war and a commander in another, and a sports writer in between, I know what Jackson Beck has to say to you will be highly important. So, come on in, Jack.
Okay, Steve, and thanks. Here's something for all young men between the ages of 18 and 25 to think about. Is the high cost of living getting you down? Are you getting those civilian blues? If so, then switch to Navy blues. When you wear the Navy blue, you get good pay and 3 square meals a day. In the Navy, you're secure. Every payday, sure. So if you're down, get up. Be on your way. See your Navy recruiting officer today. Now here's Steve Martin again and the adventures of Babe Ruth.
This is the story of the Babe and Dusty Cowan. Dusty wasn't his real name, of course, but by the time this program is over, you may be able to guess it. Dusty was one of the most talented rookies I ever saw, and the most hated. He was a hothead, a pop-off guy, and he lacked tact and humility. He was slated to go back to the bushes, but soon after the season opened, two of the outfielders came up lame, and a few weeks later, Coombs sprained his ankle. Manager Huggins was pretty desperate when he told Dusty to take over center field, and I kept my fingers crossed that nobody would get killed. The Yankees were in a losing streak, and Dusty soothed their sore tempers like a red shirt soothes a bull. Detroit knocked them down 3 days in a row, and when I walked into the clubhouse, it was like walking into a grizzly den. Sanborn, who'd pitched that third game, was exchanging a few choice remarks with Dusty, and Babe was trying
to... Your batters you make with your mouth, Dusty. We'd have won that game today.
Go on, Sanborn. What you had on the ball, strictly nothing. You couldn't have beaten a kindergarten girl.
Hey, cut it out, you guys.
I gave him 6 hits, just 6 hits, and twice you popped up with 2 men on. A bingle either time would have won for me.
Who wants the win for you, you big jerk?
Now, listen, Dusty.
Who are you calling a jerk?
Wait, Sanborn.
You were washed up 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Dusty, cut it out.
Yeah, try this on your piano.
What? You jerk!
Cut it out!
Fight!
Sanborn and Dusty tangle like a couple of spitting tomcats, with only the Babe trying to separate them. The rest of the players yell for Sanborn to give Dusty his lumps. Then Sanborn tripped over a towel and went down on the concrete floor. When he sat up, his face was twisted in pain, and he was holding his arm. And that was when the little Miller, manager Huggins,
walked in. What's all this about? Sanborn, what's the matter with your arm? What happened?
This dirty...
Wait a minute, Shan. It was just a little accident, Hug.
Accident? What do you mean, Babe?
Well, you know how it is. Dusty and San and I were sort of horsing around. San kind of slipped and fell.
I thought you had more sense, Babe. Haven't we had enough injuries this season, and now San? Holy cow, you guys will drive me nuts. Willie, get to work on San's arm. Come on, move. All of
you. We're going to the New York AC, driver. Now, look here, Babe. Why the deuce did you cover up for Dusty?
We need him on the club, Steve.
You need him like a hole in the head. That guy's a troublemaker.
He's a great natural ball player, and he plays to win. Once he gets that chip off his shoulder...
He never will. It's a permanent growth.
No, Steve. Dusty came up the hard way like I did, and a lot of other guys. He's had to fight his way every inch, and he kept on fighting when he got up to the Yankees. As soon as he finds out everybody isn't out to get him, he'll relax and he'll be okay.
Not him, Babe. No, he's a hothead.
I was a hothead, too, when I first came up. But I cooled off and straightened out, Steve. And I've got a hunch Dusty will, too.
It was no use arguing with the big fella. He was always a softy where youngsters were concerned. But I was afraid he would get into trouble if he stuck by Dusty Cowan. And was I right? The next morning, all the papers headlined that Sanborn, the pitcher Dusty had tangled with, had dislocated his shoulder when he fell and would be out of action for a month. So when Dusty trotted out to center field that afternoon, the fans gave him the business. Especially one bull voice fella in the right field stand.
Bum, you back to the bushes, Dusty! Who told you you could play ball? Go on, you bum bitter!
The treatment got under Dusty's skin. He struck out twice, missed a shoestring catch in the seventh, and then banged smack into a double play. You should have heard the crowd roar then.
You bum, Dusty, why don't you break a leg? Get lost, you punk! Drop that, Dusty!
It happened then, almost faster than you could watch it. Dusty, starting out to the field after he was thrown out, suddenly swung around and charged at the stands, making for the bull-voiced heckler. And as he jumped into a field box, the Babe was right behind him. He grabbed the crazy mad kid and heaved him back onto the field. Then the Babe himself fell into the howling crowd. When I could see the big fella again, Huggins, several of the players, and Big Bill, the umpire, were there.
Going into the stands, are you out of your mind, Babe?
I'm sorry, Hug. I lost my head, I guess. Some guy up here was riding me.
They were riding Dusty.
And they were on me, too. I saw red.
You mean you came up here to take a poke at a fan, you, Babe?
That's right,
no, Mr. Bill, it was Dusty.
It wasn't. Dusty tried to stop me.
Get off the field.
Oh, now, wait.
Get off the field. Going into the stands is a serious offense. Not even you are big enough to get away with it, Babe. I'm going to make a full report to the commissioner. The chances are, 100-1, you'll be suspended from baseball.
Babe, you're crazy. Now listen to me, Babe.
There's nothing to say, Steve.
There's plenty to say. The commissioner is considering your case now. He'd sure like to hang a year suspension on you. Now, you can't take a rap like that just to save Dusty Cowan's hide.
I can take it. He can't, Steve. It would ruin him.
It'll ruin you. Your name will be mud. Oh, Babe, for Pete's sake, use your head. Dusty isn't worth sacrificing yourself for. He's no good.
He's got a lot of good stuff in him. He just got off on the wrong foot. Like I did when I broke in. He might have learned his lesson today.
Are you kidding? If he had an ounce of decency in him, he wouldn't stand back and let you take this bum rap for him. Oh, Babe, listen to
me. Save your breath, Steve. Maybe you're right and I'm wrong, but I made my decision and I've got to see it through.
That was a long, bad night for me, the big fellow's friends, and for his thousands of fans. The suspense was terrific by game time next day because the commissioner still hadn't handed down his decision. And I can tell you we were an anxious bunch of reporters up in the press box waiting for the bad news. We knew it had to be bad. I had my eye on the telegraph waiting for the flash from the commissioner when a big roar came up from the stands. Then I looked out and I swallowed my gum. Well, the Yankees were going out to their positions and Babe Ruth was trotting out to right field with Dusty Cowan jogging out to center. Well, the tip-off came on the third play when Collins of the Sox walloped one a mile into left center. Babe started back for it, but he was limping from that pile-up in the stands yesterday, and it was evident he wasn't going to make it. And then while the fans were groaning, Dusty Cowan came racing out of deep center like a scared deer, made a crazy leap into the air, speared the ball with his gloved hand, and crashed into the fence. But he was hanging on to that ball when the Babe pulled him to his feet. A couple of minutes later, the second tip-off played itself out for us on the diamond. Sewell drew a walk, and then Dusty sliced a perfect shot between first and second on the hit-and-run play. And running like a deer, again, Dusty made it into second with a hair-raising slide. Dusty was up on his feet at once. Not sullen the way he used to be, but brushing himself off and yelling at the big fella, who was walking into the batter's box by this time. You could hear him all over the stadium.
Bring me around, Babe! Get the door, big boy!
The big fella laughed and shook his fist at him, and then he took a toehold and blasted the first pitch high and far over the bleachers in center field. While the fans went crazy, we reporters beat the dash record into the Yankee dugout. We still didn't know how come the Babe and Dusty were playing. Huggins was grinning from ear to ear when we grabbed him.
What gives? What goes on here?
Come on, give us the dope, Hug. How come the Babe and Dusty are playing?
Well, Dusty came to me and Bill, the umpire, after the game yesterday and told us how he tried to go into the stands and how the big fella threw him out and then took the rap for him, just as I suspected.
Dusty said that?
That's right.
I can't believe it. What did the commissioner say?
He said he'd been snowed under with phone calls and telegrams from fans all over the country, begging him not to suspend the Babe. And he decided, since nobody'd been hurt and there really hadn't been any trouble, to just fine Babe and Dusty $500 each and let them play today.
By the way,
how did you guys like the show those two put on this afternoon?
Wonderful.
That was wonderful, Hog. Really.
My friend Al Jolson says you boys ain't seen nothing yet. Am I right, Dusty?
If you say so, Babe. I mean, well, anything you say, Babe. Anything.
Well, I say this club is going to win the pennant. How about that, Mr. Popoff?
Oh, you'll call it... Well, like I said, Babe, anything you say. If you want the pennant, I'll personally get it for you.
You hear that, boys? You hear my boy, Dusty? This flag is in the bag.
Well, just in case I hadn't known before what a real nice guy Babe Ruth was, I knew it then. But the big fellow was full of surprises, and he could always get into hot water right up to his neck.
Before I tell you about the time the big fellow and I went hunting up in Minnesota with Dutch Reva, the great southpaw pitcher, I want you to know that we have a very distinguished guest aboard. He's Captain Gene Tunney, retired heavyweight champion and a fine Navy man besides. Gene Tunney was a Marine in the First World War, a private. And in the Second, he was a captain in charge of the Navy's physical fitness program. Well, Gene, we're awfully glad you can be with us on the first of the adventures of Babe Ruth.
Well, Steve, thanks a lot. I can tell you that I wouldn't have missed being here for anything, because I know what the Navy has meant to me and can mean to every young American. As you know, I have spent a good part of my life advocating clean living, both mental and physical.
Yes, I do.
And I think that I can say from my inspection trips around the world that the Navy really makes it easy for young fellows to be completely fit in both ways.
That's right, Gene.
I have seen baseball games in Alaska, football games on the equator, and boxing matches the world over. I know what Navy food and Navy habits are, and I can tell you that I recommend it highly as a good way of life for America's young men. Thanks again for having me here on the first of the series you have built around Babe Ruth's life. He was a great athlete, a great competitor, and a great American.
Thank you very much, Captain Gene Tunney.
I hope all you fellows realize that what Gene Tunney says is true. As an old Navy man myself, I know that the Navy offers living advantages and sport advantages and high adventure unequaled by any other career. If you're a high school graduate and are interested in the Navy as a way of life, contact your local recruiting office. I was going to tell you about hunting with the Babe in the deep north woods, but before we got out of that wilderness, and afterwards, too, the Babe's future, and mine, and Dutch Reaver's, were all at stake. But that's next week's story.
And a good one, too, if I know you, Steve Martin.
Thanks, Jack. Well, so long, everybody. See you next week.
This has been The Adventures of Babe Ruth, written by Ben Peter Freeman. Music by the United States Navy Band and produced by Woody Close. It has been presented by the United States Navy.